10 minutes to 8 on Tuesday night, Serena, and somewhere here I have an introduction to my next item, which is called The Dark Crystal Age of Resistance. Puppeteer, filmmaker Jim Henson was best known for his work on Sesame Street, of course, The Muppet Show. But the project that was closest to his heart was, in fact, a film called The Dark Crystal. 1982, originally, was when we got the first film, an audacious fantasy that used cutting-edge puppets. His daughter, Lisa Henson, that's Jim Henson's daughter, is the executive producer on the prequel, The Dark Crystal Age of Resistance, which premieres on Netflix this Friday. And I'm saying that as if it's a film. In fact, it's a 10-part series. And with me to talk about the whole affair is Liam Geraghty of Meet Your Maker Culture Podcast. Liam, let's go back to 1982.
Yes.
And you have it with you.
I brought my VHS copy of The Dark Crystal from when I was a kid.
And you still have a VHS machine at home that can play it, do you?
I don't, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I was thinking.
So the VHS is so central to this because when the film was released in 1982, it wasn't a big hit. Jim Henson was really known for The Muppets, and he was at the height of Muppet fame. The Muppet Show was still on the air. The first Muppet movie had just come out, and they were doing fantastic.
And of course, the big thing with The Muppets was there were always the Muppets, and there was the guest star, guest appearance.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And it was kind of vaudeville entertainment. Yeah. But of course, Jim Henson went to producers and went, I want to make this film that's a fantasy film with all these creatures, and there's going to be no humans in it at all. And they were like, that's great, Jim.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jim, what's happening with the Muppets?
Exactly.
That's all they wanted to know.
They want more Muppets. And in fact, he couldn't get that deal. So, a friend of his suggested that he basically say, I'll do a 2-picture deal. I'll make you another Muppet movie, which turned out to be The Great Muppet Caper. And you can make The Dark Crystal. And so they made them side by side while they were shooting. They had to shoot the Muppet film first. But as they were shooting that, they were developing this whole world for The Dark Crystal.
Right, so he basically said, yeah, you can have another Muppet movie, but only if you let me make this film I've wanted to make for years and years and years. And is it a totally original story of his, or does it have a genesis somewhere else?
No, it was from an idea that he came up with, and he contacted a British fantasy illustrator, Brian Froud, who kind of does all these amazing kind of fairy goblin kind of, creatures. And they kind of developed this, together. Famously, he was trapped in an airport, snowed in. And his daughter, Lisa Henson, you mentioned, said that he wrote most of the outline for the movie while they were like snowed in there. totally, absolutely original. And it was like nothing that had been seen before. In fact, it hadn't been done, like a film with no humans at all. Mm. Because even the Muppets, had people
the guest
in it,
star,
obviously.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
So this was like something very different, to what people were used to.
I suppose the easiest way, it's a kind of a Game of Thrones with puppets type of thing.
Yeah, that's
what we're talking about. And Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
in fact, he should have done Lord of the Rings. If he'd said to them, I'll make you Lord of the Rings, he might have got he might have got the Dark Crystal out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, one of the poor reviews from the time had actually said, this is kind of like a diluted Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Because when it came out at the time, the reviews are kind of middling, And I bring in the VHS only to illustrate the point, because this was one of those films that got a cult status.
The VHS.
From the Betamax and the VHS copies as it went along. Because before that, films, if they didn't do well, they just died. What I mean? they had no second life.
Now you've got to really give me the idiot's guide here. Who are the good guys? Who are the good puppets? Who are the bad puppets? And what are they looking for? Because that's basically what we're talking about, a kind of a quest, really.
Absolutely. I suppose the whole... Between the two films, or the film and the series, it's set in the world of Thra, which is all kinds of, like we say, Lord of the Rings kind of weird creatures and that. And there's a crystal at the centre of it, which is kind of like the living heart of the world, and it's connected to the creatures and the land and everything.
Good people get the crystal, it's good. Bad people get the crystal,
bad. People get the crystal and they start exploiting it for their own gain, and so the whole land kind of, it starts to die, essentially. And so we have the good guys, who are the Gelflings, who are kind of like elves, if you kind of imagine those kind of... And they set out to kind of... In the original film, one of them, who is the last of his race, goes out to kind of repair the crystal. And this prequel is basically set We don't. We're not told. That, could, yeah. could be hundreds, could be thousands, yeah. actually, of years before that, of when his race was flourishing, and the bad guys in the original film are kind of in this new prequel series. They're kind of. When we meet them, they're benevolent.
Are they the Skeksis?
Yes, yeah. And they're kind of like, it's basically how they went bad and how they kind of all exploited right. the crystal in the first
and
place.
And let's listen to a clip then that kind of gives us goodies and baddies in some ways. The Emperor here, voiced by Jason Isaac, tells his lords not to worry about the crystal, and that the scientist, played by Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, as you have never heard him, over the top doesn't begin to describe this performance. But he's working on a plan to ensure that they rule, yes, forever.
Never! We have nothing to fear. Already a solution lies within the scientist's very grasp. Is that not so?
Our mighty Emperor speaks true. I am hard at work on this troublesome inconvenience.
Patience. We are lords of the crystal. We have ruled for an age and will rule for all ages yet to come. We are eternal!
Terribly sorry, Mark Hamill. How dare I? It was Jason Isaacs who was wildly over the top. Although Mark Hamill's little squeaky voice wasn't exactly method acting either.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And the cast of this, the voice cast, I should say, because there's a cast of puppeteers, but the voice cast is incredible. I mean, like, this is like bigger than kind of any Hollywood film.
Yeah,
I mean,
you throw a few names at me there. I noticed Katrina Balfe is there. The Monaghan actress.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. You've got the three main characters are Taron Egerton, Anna Taylor-Joy, who was in Glass and Split recently, and Natalie Emmanuel, who was in the Fast and Furious series. But then, aside from that, you've got Eddie Izzard, you've got Sigourney Weaver, you've got Toby Jones, Andy Samberg from SNL.
That's plenty of people going on with it. And it's just because it is one big long list. I should say that Slim Garrity is in speaking to us about The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, which is Lisa Henson's executive produced 10-part series following on from her father Jim Henson of The Muppet Show from his film The Dark Crystal, which was made back in 1982. The big thing here, and I know you want to talk about it, Liam, is the nature of the puppetry. I saw a little bit of it today. There's not a rod or a string in sight, and their movements are amazing.
It's incredible. I mean, when you think of this as it's a real kind of step up. It's done the original film justice, but it's a real step up, because in the original film, occasionally you might see the odd kind of rod moving a hand of a puppet, but in this one they're all kind of digitally taken out. But this, honestly, this absolutely elevates the art form. I mean, you're seeing.
Don't know that I wanted them to be digitally taken out. I wanted it to have happened by magic somehow, rather than there were no rods.
Well, it's. I mean, just the fact that it is puppets and that they are there and you're seeing them. There's something about that kind of makes it kind of more special. But then the other thing, I suppose, is that the director Louis Leterrier, who did stuff like The Incredible Hulk, and now you see. Me and Clash of the Titans, who's not someone you would instantly go, oh yeah, he should do The Dark Crystal, but he wanted to create a lot of movement in this, and he does that through Steadicam, which is not, any puppeteer will tell you, a Steadicam is not a puppeteer's friend, because there's such limited movement of how you could shoot something like that, but this is absolutely sweeping shots and puppets running everywhere, and there's real movement to it that wasn't so much in the original. You know, the original was a little bit slower.
Yeah. Because now you were a little bit younger in 1982 than you were.
Well, I wasn't born. I was born a year later.
You were not even born, but get out of the studio immediately. So I'm just wondering, who do you think this is aimed at? Is it people who are the cult followers of the 1982 movie, The Dark Crystal?
I mean, it is and it isn't. I mean, the original was a family movie, but albeit much darker. I mean, the nightmares that me and my friends got from watching The Skeksis when we were kids.
Shouldn't have been watching it.
The kids are all also going to get nightmares, you know, from this TV series. But it's an astonishing piece of work.
All right, so you will be watching. How much of it have you watched? Have you
the
watched
whole thing? The whole 10 you've hours? Watched yes, in a weekend.
In a weekend.
I'll do it again.
All right, and it's going to be available on Netflix. We know what you're doing next Friday night. Liam Garrity speaking to us about that new Netflix series, which is Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, and it's on Netflix from this Friday. And that is our lot for this evening. Brian Moss was the broadcast coordinator. Harry Bookless was on sound. And Keith Sheehy was out there tonight producing from that seat instead of presenting from this seat. Lovely to be back with you. Talk to you tomorrow night at 7. John Creedon is on the way.